Alright, everybody, and welcome to
Teller of the Tales, take two!
Exactly, because, you know, the first time just isn't cool enough.
Actually, no, the first time it was just because I just didn't come out straight away and said, Teller of the Tales! And Zane was like, oh my god, Olivia didn't do it! What? And he stopped the recording, so...
Well, technically I could have edited it, but then you have all that time, and it's like, I don't really want to do that, it's just so annoying, it's like, ah.
Well, I think you were also taken aback by me not just coming out and saying it. You're so used to it.
Yes, very true. Very true.
So, true. Last time on Teller of the Tales, Dylan Collins triumphed in Disney. But will he be able to triumph once again?
In the most overused franchise ever.
It is not overused.
I mean overproduced.
It's not overproduced.
Okay, either. Seriously, it's coming out in 3D.
Yes.
So is
everything else.
I mean, yeah, granted, everything else is coming out in 3D, but I mean, it's like the Star Wars has been re-released VHS, DVD, Blu-ray, DVD, now 3D, Blu-ray, DVD,
actually,
3D combo
actually, it's been released more than that. You forget all the other times it's been re-released theatrically and whatnot, but very true. I digress. It's an interesting, you know.
That is very true. So everyone should go out and see episode 1 in 3D, unless you didn't like episode 1.
Actually, I really did enjoy episode 1. It was like my first Star Wars episode. And I know that's like really taboo. Like everyone's like, how dare you? It had Jar Jar Binks and everything was ruined. And I'm just like, but that's how I got into Star Wars. And for me... As the series went on, they got better. So, I mean, hey. And I also have a really big soft spot for Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, nice.
Like, seriously, Obi-Wan Kenobi, he is one of my favorite Jedi to read about, especially in the spin-off books when he was a Padawan.
Oh, nice.
Did you know that he almost didn't become a Jedi? He was actually sent away, and Qui-Gon Jinn picked him up at the last minute as his apprentice.
Huh.
And he left the Order at one point to go join a rebellion and later came back, and it took him a while to become Qui-Gon's apprentice again.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah, it's actually, like, I really do like
Qui-Gon. And I thought that I was a Star Wars nerd, but apparently not.
And, like, and Qui-Gon also had a love, and then she died, and Qui-Gon got really upset, and, like, I've read stories about Qui-Gon being a Padawan, I've read stories about Count Dooku being a Padawan. Yeah, like, dude, like, they go back that far.
Yeah. You know what's really weird, though? To stay on the subject of Star Wars here, you know what's really, really, really weird? And that's the fact of the matter is, going from Star Wars Episode 3 to Episode 4, that's the weirdest transition ever. Just because you have all this high tech, all of a sudden, explosions, boom, 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 then you have 80s.
Well, the thing is that, though, as I think that...
But it's still really good for the 80s. I mean, it's really good.
It was really good for the 80s, but also Star Wars leaves a lot to be imagined. I think that it's a sci-fi thing. You have to be willing to kind of give it. And, I mean, let's face it, if you look back at Star Wars Episode 1's computer graphics, they're nowhere a match near to what we have today.
True.
They're never really going to be able to keep that continuity. But I think that as you kind of, like, you go... on with the movies, and, even though, like, the special effects degrade, yeah, I think that when you watch a movie, it's supposed to draw you in and make you believe that it's real, and it does that. Even though the special effects aren't really, like, oh my god, stunning, it looks like that is exactly real. I mean, look at Doctor Who, its special effects aren't really, like, special, like, they're, like, more of, like, people in masks and costumes and everything, but they're still excellent, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, and I'm not, I love Doctor Who, so don't like, oh my god, Olivia just dissed Doctor Who's special effects. No, I didn't. I'm commending them because they're awesome. I think that it's just that people expect all special effects to be kind of like what we have currently, but we have to remember that back then those were amazing, and there's still something to really be looked upon with respect now.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely, definitely, definitely. So I would say that's almost, we've had almost a lot of time talking about Star Wars and how awesome they are. My question is, are you ready to listen to some Star Wars fan fictions and listening to continuity be destroyed in our very midst?
I'm so nervous.
Stuff that we hold dear. The stuff that we hold dear, I mean, it's going to be utterly uprooted.
I have a feeling that the bad fanfictions are going to skyrocket because I think that people started realizing that the bad fanfictions were...
the funnier ones, the better ones.
Were the better ones. I think that we're going to see an increase in that. but yeah, I mean,
definitely.
If there is a Hello Kitty Darth Vader...
Dude, if there's a Hello Kitty Darth Vader, I'm going to give that just A++. I'm just going to laugh my friggin' butt off.
I've seen it. I've seen the Hello Kitty Darth Vader, but I'm just saying
That's Adrian Vader.
Huh?
That's Adrian.
I don't hear.
It's long story.
What I'm saying is that I've seen that.
Yeah.
I'm prepared.
Okay. I don't know if that's going to prepare you for anything.
I'm praying it does. All right, so who's up first?
All right, so the first one up is OP Cal.
All righty, OP Cal, take it away.
Yay!
Luke, I am your mother. No! You're lying! Wait, what? Luke said, staring at Darth Vader in confusion. Mother? But you're a guy. You can't be my mother. You'd be my father. Not that I'm saying I believe you. Luke could do nothing but stare as Darth Vader, the most feared person in the galaxy, stomped her foot like an angry teenager.
Why does no one believe me when I tell them I'm not female? Just because I wear black instead of pink and don't go around wearing silly dresses does not mean that I have to be male.
Luke stared at her like she was insane, or at least more insane than he had originally thought. Yeah, but being called Lord Vader instead of Lady Vader kind of points you to being male.
Of course, I have people call me Lord Vader.
He, she, wow, that's confusing, said in a tone of voice that implied that he, she thought he was slow.
Have you seen the people in the Navy? They are the biggest sexists that you will ever meet. I had to go by Lord Vader if I wanted any chance of getting them to respect me.
Luke stared, his mouth open, before he came back to his senses and snapped it shut. Yeah, sorry, but I don't believe you.
Well, there's an easy way to prove I'm telling the truth.
She reached up and pulled at the mask that covered her face. Luke's breath caught. No one had ever seen Vader without her mask on. He expected to see a horribly scared visage. Instead, there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. She, because without the mask it was obvious that Vader was in fact a girl, shook her head.
You really must work on your focus, Lukey. You have to stick to one piece of conversation or you confuse people. Don't worry, we're gonna work on it when we're back at Coruscant.
What? I'm not going to Coruscant with you, Luke said angrily. And don't call me Lukey.
Really, Lukey, I am your mother.
I'm like 20 years old, Luke exclaimed, looking furious.
Exactly. Far too long to be going through a rebellious stage. Now I understand. I wasn't there as much as I would have liked when you were younger.
As much as you would have liked? You were never there! I thought you were dead.
Well, I can't control what you think, she said angrily before narrowing her eyes. Why are you being so difficult about this, Lukey? We're family. We belong here. It's that bitch, O'Connor, isn't it? Oh, my Lukey, you got her pregnant, didn't you? And now you feel like you have to do whatever she tells you to, don't you? Lukey, don't you understand how much trouble this will cause? Now I can't kill her, and I'll have to convince the Emperor to pardon her. How could you do this to me? And why didn't you use birth control? Didn't your uncle ever give you the talk? Why is everyone but me an idiot?
Luke stared at her with his mouth on the floor. How the hell had they gone from fighting to her, talking about him getting Leia pregnant? He stared at her for another minute before deciding to do the only sane thing he could do in the situation. He turned to his side and jumped into the big, gaping hole.
Alright, so, OP Cal. This I don't know what to think of this. This really? Was just...
I enjoyed this.
This was just like... It was so out there. I mean, it was funny. This was good. I liked it. But it was just the fact it was like... It caught me off guard. It caught me completely off guard. With him going, okay, yeah, it's her mother. Okay. Okay. Then what really got me was the whole thing was, oh, you gotta be kidding me. They're having incest in this thing. Why? Why? Oh, all they had was an innocent kiss. And that was kind of creepy.
I mean, seriously,
family get-togetherings had to be weird after that time.
Yeah, but I do have to say, though, I thought that it was hilarious. I have to say, British accent, female Vader was funny. I don't know why, but the tone kind of just reminded me of Mother Gothel if she just smoked like a lot and was rich. and just like the reaction to like, oh, Lukey, like I was just cracking up. I think like there's a little bit of a minor mispronunciation about Coruscant, but that was, I just remember I heard her say it and I was like, I don't know if that's supposed to be pronounced that way. But
I don't know. I never actually noticed any of the pronunciations. I was just too busy listening to the actual, I don't know. It was just the actual content of this thing. It was just like, it was so out there, but yet you did it so well that, you know what? I have to admit that this was actually done really well, that I absolutely love it. I like it. This is an awesome way to start off Star Wars fan fiction night.
Yeah.
You got anything else to add there, Livy?
I don't know. It made me laugh. I really enjoyed
it. All right. So up next is The Artichoke.
Dun, dun, dun.
It was frilly and hideous, and neither of them wanted to put it on. However, one of them had to. Obi-Wan Kenobi pinched the bridge of his nose and wondered which of the council members hated him this much. It would have been such a small thing to assign the affair to a master that had a girl as a Padawan, or was at least a girl herself. But no, it had fallen to him and Anakin. I think my eyeballs are bleeding from that color, Master. Can you still see it? Loud and clear. Then your eyeballs aren't bleeding. If they were, you'd be blinded. I'd rather be blinded. Anakin crossed his arms. You wear it, Master. He fixed a pained expression on Obi-Wan. It's more your color than it is mine. Frills would go wonderfully with my beard, he remarked, privately thinking that the color was much better for Anakin. Anakin would look nicer than he in that revolting orange. You could shave, Anakin suggested, looking entirely too hopeful. Obi-Wan hurried to squash such hopes. Why shave when my Padawan does daily? No, 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 you're a much better choice. By what criteria? His lips twitched. Well, I did hear a giggling gaggle of girls remarking on what pretty eyes you have. Something about long, curling lashes. That should count for something. And that makes me a better choice. Well, no. Men didn't exactly look at eyes right off, and quite frankly, they needed their host to be ogling Anakin all night. Their host had to be oblivious to everything else. He considered the gown and then Anakin. At least with the color, their host wouldn't possibly miss him. They needed more than that, though. They needed assets Anakin simply didn't naturally possess. We'll need a long wig and perhaps some eye makeup some women wear. No, no eye makeup. Anakin took a few steps back, shaking his head. I'm telling you, Master, you'd make a much prettier girl than me. Oh, really? You've given the matter previous attention? No, Anakin rolled his eyes. No, I mean because you're shorter. As if that explained it. And that makes a better girl? Enlighten me, Anakin. I'm not quite following you. He couldn't wait to hear the rest of Anakin's teenaged wisdom on the subject. Well, yeah, it's better. If she's short and just the right height, you can stand behind her, look down and see... Never mind. Hypothetical. He waved a hand. Obi-Wan had pulled that one himself a few times, and speaking of that, we'll have to pad the top as well. I still think you'd be prettier. Anakin scuffed the toe of one boot on the floor. You just don't want to try putting that thing on. Am I that transparent? Yes. Why do I have to do it? Why can't you wear it? Because I'm the master. and I don't want to," he finished silently. "Think about it this way, if it makes you feel better. When you're a master and you have your own Padawan, you can tell him or her the story of the frilly dress to make him feel better about whatever thing he's complaining about having to do. You can tell him to feel lucky he didn't get Obi-Wan as a master, and here's why. It'll be a good bonding moment." "Implying there's something even more embarrassing than this?" "Oh, Anakin, there are plenty of more embarrassing things than this. I could tell you some stories, but I won't because we're running late. Besides, it'll only be embarrassing if there are pictures." "There won't be pictures, right?" Striding to the dress, Obi-Wan reached for the undergarments that went with it. "Let's get started." "Master?" "Hm? Pictures?" "There are rarely reporters at these things. Now come here already. This could take a while, and we are on a schedule." Getting Anakin into the undergarments was going to be interesting. They were going to have to make the breasts to fill out the top, but he had a whole box of gel packs for that. "Put this on." He held out the top. Anakin divested himself of his tunics and took it, but after several minutes of waiting, Obi-Wan glanced up to find his Padawan twisting about like a contortionist. "Problems? Girls are nuts. How do they get into these things?" "Try taking your arms out of the holes and turning it around front to fasten it." At Anakin's skeptical look, he nodded. "Trust me." He hadn't believed it himself until one friend showed him. Seconds later, "Hey, it worked. How'd you know that, Master?" "One hears things when one has female friends. And sees things, and... put a couple of these in the cups." He handed Anakin two of them, one for the left and right. "Let me get the dress," Anakin set them down. "We can hold it up and see if we've got it right." Flipping the fabric around on its hanger, he undid the back fastenings with a nimbleness that raised Obi-Wan's brows. He didn't recall being that adept at undoing women's clothes at Anakin's age. Stepping into the dress, Anakin pulled it up, then laid the top in front of him on the chair back. "Okay, two down. Give me about four more. Hold the dress up." He took more of the packs from the box while Anakin slipped his arms into the sleeves and pulled the front up. "Too flat. Add these two." They continued for several minutes in that manner. "Bigger. Two more, Master." Obi-Wan squinted. "Bigger. Two more." Peering into the box, he hoped they'd be done soon or they were going to run out of these gel packs. "Bigger." Anakin dutifully added more stuffing, then looked at himself in the mirror. "Oh, hold on a minute, I'm lopsided." He shifted the gel packs. "Add a couple more, maybe that'll help." The box said they were cleavage enhancing, but they seemed to be having trouble making cleavage to begin with. "Doubt it." Adding the packs, Anakin sighed. "Still not big enough. How big was the woman this dress came from, Master?" "Apparently she was well-blessed. Try a few more." "Any more and I'll fall over." Shrugging the top down, he tugged at the straps of the undergarment. "This is uncomfortable." Now Obi-Wan saw the real problem. "Oh, four." He tightened the shoulder straps bit by slow bit. "Honestly, Anakin, they're not supposed to droop to your knees. They must be properly supported. Surely you knew that." "Of course I knew that." Another roll of his eyes. "But how was I supposed to know I needed to adjust the straps? It's not like the girls I know ever wear anything like this." He paused. "Never mind. Boys will be boys, wouldn't they?" Obi-Wan kept adjusting the straps until suddenly there was cleavage! Fake cleavage that looked fake. Fortunately, the gown wasn't of the low-cut variety, or Obi-Wan would have been calling in a favor from one of several female friends instead of cheerfully humiliating Anakin. "Now that's more like it," he murmured. Anakin turned left and right and thrust his chest out. "I could put out an eye with these things," he squeezed them. "Wow, they even feel real." "And how would you know what a real breast feels like?" Anakin looked up. He paused just long enough for his explanation to have a fake ring to it. "Oh, you know, Master, accidents and, well, hand slips. I apologize for it." It could be made up or not. With Anakin, sometimes his true stories were far more entertaining than mistruths. Rather than dwell on it, Obi-Wan directed a critical stare at Anakin's chest. "Well, they may feel real to you, but they certainly don't look it. You're lumpy." A bit more squeezing and shifting, and finally, "There, Master, as real-looking as fake breasts can get on a guy." He was pleased to see Anakin's sense of humor returning full force. "Now pull that gown back up, and let's see if we solved the problem." They were getting there. He filled out the top nicely, except... Obi-Wan shook his head. "Anakin, the chest hair ruins the look." "Oh, come on, there's not a lot of it. I thought I'd never get any. If anyone comments, I'll say I have a glandular condition or something. It'll grow back." "So would your beard," he scowled. 10 minutes later, Anakin's chest was hair-free, and they turned their attention to the hooped undergarment. The problem with it? It was too small at the waist. "So let me get this straight. Anakin began. This woman was tall, with a tiny waist, and absolutely massive. Anakin, please. Women come in all shapes and sizes. Respect them all. What would you think of not wearing the hoop? It was quickly apparent that he couldn't walk in the dress without getting tangled up in the fabric. Anakin muttered to himself, and Obi-Wan made a mental note to find out just what those words actually meant in Huttese. He certainly didn't believe Anakin's claim to glorious, beautiful dish rag. 10 minutes more, and they had the hoop turned and pinned into something reasonably close to what they thought it should be. However, once the gown was back on... I look fat. There's like a roll right in the middle. With a chest that big, who will notice your waist? I'll notice, and I won't feel pretty. Every girl wants to feel pretty. Besides, the other girls will talk about me, and I'll have my little sensitive feelings hurt. Really, Master, I might even cry. You wouldn't want that to happen at my first diplomatic ball, would you? It would be too traumatic. I'd be scarred for life. It was Obi-Wan's turn to roll his eyes. You should be in the theater, Anakin. It took 5 more attempts to get the waist to Anakin's satisfaction. And it's not a diplomatic ball. It's a ball being given by a former diplomat with shady dealings. We're merely to keep him distracted. Right. Where's the wig? Obi-Wan opened one large box and frowned. This can't be it. Adjusting his chest again, Anakin peered over the box edge. Sure that isn't a dead Wookiee? It's certainly the right size. Gingerly, he picked up the mass of hair and flipped it about. No, it was a wig, all right. Various shades of blonde and curly. Put it on. Okay. He fitted it on his head and made a show of arranging the curls. Ta-da! With the wig on, Obi-Wan had to admit Anakin wasn't too bad-looking as a girl. He tilted his head to one side. You'll do. Anakin scrutinized his reflection. I'm kind of cute in a weird way. He tilted his head back, pointed a finger at his throat. That might give me away. Is there a scarf or something? Bending over, he rifled through the boxes. The hooped skirt tilted up alarmingly in back. Obi-Wan covered his mouth with one hand, trying to stifle his amusement. This was not going to work, was it? Anakin was going to do something that made it apparent he was a boy, and the assignment would be a bust. This'll work. Standing once more, Anakin wrapped a long feathered scarf around his neck. I'm ready, he grinned, striking a pose and batting his lashes. Well, at least you're getting into the spirit of it, he remarked. Don't get carried away, Anakin. You have friends that are girls. Behave like them. He nodded. Okay, so I should spend all my time giggling and try real hard to blush whenever you stand next to me. It's time to quit cracking jokes. This is a serious assignment from here on out. I'm not joking, Master. Haven't you noticed them? Anakin frowned, as though he thought it strange Obi-Wan hadn't noticed. No, why would they do a thing like that? He much preferred females his own age. I don't know, I'm not a girl, but best guess is they think you're attractive or something. He squinted. You could be attractive, but I just don't see it. Right, let's go then. Try and keep your mischief in check, hm? We're here on assignment. Maybe if he said it enough times, Anakin would keep it in mind. As they left the room, Obi-Wan didn't have high hopes of decorum. Anakin had that twinkle in his eye.
Obi-Wan! So I totally was like laughing at what he was making Anakin do. That was priceless. Oh my goodness. This was really long. But it was quite enjoyable to listen to for a majority of it. I kind of got a little bit bored towards the end though. But I think that was just because it was kind of like dragging on and I was like... And I don't think, like, you know, they ever really finished the mission. Like, I would really like to see how it carried out. Like, wouldn't you wonder, like, if they actually succeeded at this?
This is one of those things, yeah, I would wonder on that one.
Yeah, because I kind of want to know, like, what happened. Like, did they succeed? Did they, like, you know, like, get in there and kick butt? Or, like, did they completely fail? Did Anakin, like, loses weight, like, halfway through the dance, stuff like that. So, what about you?
Actually, I kind of sort of like this. The story itself was funny. I love the way you delivered most of the lines on these things. Mm-hmm. But the big thing is that there was really no characterization between Obi-Wan, narrator, and Anakin. And it was kind of all done in the same... person, which in a way it works, in a way, especially when Anakin like goes like, they're gonna make me cry and all that stuff, like really get him like I feel like he could have gone a little bit further. I believe the actor could have gone a little bit further and actually gave that girly tone to his voice. Just because of his girly, sarcastic tone. I mean, really define each of these characters. Granted, they don't have to sound exactly like the movie, but... What was that?
I mean, like, I guess I could see, like, where you're coming from, but on the other hand, it's also kind of very hard to, like, I guess, put a voice on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, but I mean, as I said...
I like how he characterized the brotherly relationship, because the thing is that's kind of important to denote within the master-padawan relationship of Obi-Wan and Anakin Skywalker, was that they really were never really master and padawan. They were more like brothers in a sense, because they were kind of close, I guess, in age. Because Obi-Wan's first padawan was Anakin, and that wasn't really even his choice. He only does it because Qui-Gon Jinn asked him to.
Yeah.
And, that was the last Padawan he ever had. Only Padawan he ever had.
Yeah,
was Anakin.
Well, he kind of got killed by his Padawan dude, didn't he?
Well, yeah, but also all the other Jedis got killed off, so Obi-Wan could never take in another Padawan. Well, unless you count Luke. Luke was his, like, last Padawan, but that's, like, really far off.
But yeah, I don't know if you really want to call him his Padawan or Yoda's.
I think there were both, because both of them did some training with Luke. Yoda was, like, really a trainer, but by that time, the Master Padawan system had been pretty much obliterated.
Oh, yeah.
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 But I like that brotherly, because that's what I usually get. And with Obi-Wan and Anakin, and is that there's not, like, this, like, oh, I'm better than you because I'm your master kind of thing. It's more of, like, Obi-Wan constantly was trying to understand Anakin and where Anakin was coming from. So, and I think that he kind of...
Yeah.
He had the more teaching brother.
Yeah, that's the reason why, because I have to say, though, too, is that even though the characters weren't characterized by it, it really didn't feel like 11 minutes. It didn't feel really that long. I mean, compared to the first story, it kind of was a little bit, felt a little bit longer, but it was enjoyable to listen to, and that's one thing I think is going to go well towards him, just because of the fact that, you know, it was engaging. It was just, that's my one big huge nitpick, is the fact that there was really no characterization. There's no really distinction in the voice between characters. Other than that, I mean, it was all really good. The story was very interesting indeed. Interesting just because of the fact that Anakin's trying to cross-dress and get away with it, and
yeah.
That's just gotta be the most funniest thing ever. Yeah, that's all I got. You?
Yeah, that's all I got
today. Alright, so you ready to move on to the next one?
Mm-hmm.
Alright, up next is Malt.
Hello, judges, fellow TOT competitors, and listeners. This is Malt, and I have with me today two Star Wars short stories. The first is simply called Mad Libs.
Tell me you want it, demanded Boba Fett, almost angrily. He stood at the foot of the bed, his cruel eyes gazing at the helpless form tied, spread-eagled, to the motel bed. I want it, sobbed James T. Kirk. He was face down. The ropes were cutting into his wrists and ankles. His face was red with embarrassment and shame, and there was a 1x16 replica of the Washington Monument stuck in his ass. But his every pore screamed with pleasure and a hungry need for the pleasure yet to come, even when it was so very wrong. Boba Fett started to stroke his erect, heat-seeking missile, but there was no need. Hungry with desire, it stood tall like a steamer trunk. Almost instantly, the two of them became one. Even as the pleasure screamed like a barreling freight train through every pore, the shame poured forth and filled both their nostrils. Thrusting in frenzy, Boba Fett yelled, "Say it!" "No," whimpered James T. Kirk. "Say it. You know you want to, you slippery ocelot." "I once had sexual relations with a Minok on a bet." "Okay, there was no bet." The words filled the air and mixed with the sweat, rutting heat and shame, and an orgasm that would not be denied. Finally, they stopped, both covered in triple juice. Kirk was weeping silently. All Boba Fett could do was awkwardly pat his shoulder. Suddenly, a voice cried from the motel bathroom.
Hey!
Yelled Papa Smurf.
You guys gonna pee on me or what?
Hi, Malt again. This second story is one I like to call Yoda and Tequila. It is a quiet night we find Anakin Skywalker walking the streets when all of a sudden a man just robs some woman. Anakin runs after the man. Anakin.
Stop! Get back!
As Anakin call out, the man keeps running. Going through a crowd, he sneaks into a knight, and Anakin follows him in. Anakin sees the guy and uses his force pull. Guy.
What the fuck you doing, you motherfucker?
Anakin.
Shut up!
Anakin then punches the guy in the face, knocking him. The police came and take the guy away. As Anakin is about to leave, he noticed some people chatting.
Go! Go! Go!
Anakin went to see what was going on. Anakin was shocked at what he saw. It was Master Yoda dancing with stripers and drank a bottle of tequila. Yoda.
Oh, yes. Shack that ass.
Girls. Anakin.
Master Yoda, what are you doing?
Yoda.
Oh, fuck.
Yoda was shocked to see Anakin. No Jedi knew that Yoda would do this. Yoda.
Oh, Skywalker. What are you doing here?
Anakin.
What am I doing here, you ask? What are you doing? And this is against the code of the Jedi.
Yoda.
Look, Anakin, come with me and I will explain.
As Yoda gets off the stage, Anakin starts to follow him to a back room. The back room looks like it was reserved for Yoda. In the room, you find hoes every.
Anakin. So, Master, start explaining.
Yoda.
Well, you see, Skywalker, I come here to unwind and to have some fucking fun. It all happened 2 years ago, when by accident, I drank a whole bottle of tequila. I was drunk as fuck, I was cussing fuck hoes, doing crazy shit that Jedi do not do, but I realized I barely remember any of it, and what I don't remember does not hurt me or others.
Anakin.
So, you're saying I can have bear and do crazy shit?
Yoda.
No. Bear is not good. Does not get you drunk. Drink tequila, then it is okay.
Anakin.
I see. If I drink a lot of tequila, I can do crazy shit and have sex with girls.
Yoda.
Yes, but the girls must be hoes like these bitches up here, because with hoes you don't feel love for them.
Anakin.
All right then. Give me that tequila.
The end. Hope you enjoyed my choices and stories. Sorry there's 2 short ones, but thanks for your time and hope you enjoyed listening.
Alright, so Malt. Ugh.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. I don't know what to say to this because, okay, we have two stories to look at here. We have the first story, which is the whole sexual scene between Captain Kirk and Boba Fett? Really?
Very explicit.
Really? I did not need to know that. I did not need to know that. Because it's just like, why? Why? Why does this story exist? Why does it even have to exist? I don't know why. Who in their right mind thought this story was a good idea to write? I know, but it's just, it's very
interesting, and
it's just so, I don't know. Okay, so, I have to say I like the second story a lot better than I like the first story, which really isn't saying much right now. The first story...
Yeah, I like the second one, but the second one was really...
Yeah. The second one did have a lot of the cursing in it, but I didn't mind that as much.
Yeah, I did not mind that.
Because it was just okay, you know, it was very less awkward, okay? All right, anytime you have that type of scene with Captain Kirk, the most straight captain of all the captains of Star Trek out there.
We can't necessarily, I don't know, I guess it's kind of hard. Because we try really hard not to judge by content, but it's just, content like this.
This was just like, oh my word. I know I'm not supposed to judge by content because this is fan fiction, but still, though, it's like, whoever wrote this, whoever wrote that one scene, you are an idiot. You have not watched Star Trek at all.
But that's the thing, is that it's a fan. The fan just...
I know.
Yeah.
Certain things fans should never do. That's one thing fans should never do. Okay, okay. Alright. Alright, so focusing on... Forgetting the first story here, focusing on the second story. Need to focus. Okay, so the second story, I actually... As I said, I liked it over the first story tenfold. I mean, the story itself, the way you told it, was actually interesting. It was actually kept me engaging. It was a lot better, and I liked your voices with them all, too, so it's like...
Oh, yeah. Especially, I loved Yoda's voice. And she said it, like, she was so, like, serious during the first line. She was just like, right there, in your face. Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Get out there. See?
I got...
See, and you were nervous about this week.
My word. Okay, I'm done. You got anything else?
No, I don't.
Okay, alright, so, Malt, next time, please. Okay, we're setting ground rules right now. There can't be a crapload of explicit content in this fan fiction stories. Only reason why, especially something like that, what the first story was just...
Well, I mean, like...
Yeah, it was just, like, very uncomfortable for a lot of things, and it was just plainly uncomfortable. If you have any problem, if you have a question on what we consider, what we actually consider appropriate for this competition, please, like, send us a link to it. Or,
don't hesitate to ask whatsoever, because when it comes to stories like these, like, sometimes it can be kind of hard because, you know, sometimes they cross the line, sometimes they don't, sometimes they toe and they're still okay. And I mean, and it's at your discretion, but we do kind of want to remember that there are people who aren't used to this stuff on the site. And so,
yeah.
But don't let this, like, stifle, like,
no,
the passion either. Like, this is just kind of like a reminder, not only just to you, but to everybody out there, that we just, I mean, don't be afraid to, like, go to this region. It's just that this one was a little bit too explicit, just a little bit too much. So
yeah, so I'm gonna just after that, so Malt, good job for what you did too with this show, with this. All right, I'm moving on because I got to move on.
I would feel awkward if I was performing this piece. I think she did a good job with it.
Oh. Okay, so I've got to look at this list now because... Oh, man. Up next is Beloved Star.
The battle stations are heavily shielded and carry a firepower greater than half the Starfleet. Its defenses are designed around direct, large-scale assaults. A small one-man fighter should be able to penetrate the outer defense, General Dodonna explained. Luke Skywalker watched the plans of the operational Death Star. It looked pretty easy. Pardon me for asking, sir, but what good are snub fighters going to be against that? The pilot known as John Dutch Vander asked. Well, the Empire doesn't consider a small one-man fighter to be any threat, or they would have a tighter defense. An analysis of the plans provided by Princess Leia have demonstrated a weakness in the battle station, but the approach will not be easy. You are required to maneuver straight down this trench and skim the surface to this point. The target area is only 2 meters wide. It's a small thermal exhaust port right below the main port. The shaft leads directly to the reactor system. A precise hit will start a chain reaction which should destroy the station. Only a precise hit will set off a chain reaction. The shaft is ray-shielded, so you'll have to use proton torpedoes. That's impossible, even for a computer, Wedge Antilles said. It's not impossible. I used to bullseye womp rats in my T-16 back home. They're not much bigger than 2 meters, Luke said. Then man your ships and may the Force be with you. All the pilots were leaving when at that moment Giselle landed with a thud. Everyone stared in shock. Giselle looked around, completely lost. Oh my, she whispered. One of the pilots whistled and asked, "Where did you come from, beautiful?" The crowd burst into laughter. Giselle was desperate. "Excuse me, but could one of you be so kind to take me to the castle?" Han Solo frowned. "The what?" Wedge laughed. "Is that supposed to be a joke?" "This isn't a joke. I'm supposed to be at the castle to wed my true love," Giselle said. "And who might your true love be?" the same pilot earlier asked. "Prince Edward," Giselle said proudly. The crowd laughed again. "Enough," General Dodonna yelled. "Don't you all have somewhere else to be?" Poor Giselle was too naive to realize these people were making fun of her. Soon, all of them had left, leaving her in the empty room. Han and Leia stayed back watching her with curiosity. Giselle's wedding dress was quite unusual to both of them. "Why are you staring at me?" she asked.
No reason," Han said, feeling a little uncomfortable.
"Where did you say you were from?" Leia asked. Giselle smiled. "My name is Giselle, and I'm from Andalasia."
"Where is that? Is that a planet?" Han asked.
"It's beyond the Meadows of Joy and the Valley of Contentment," Giselle replied. Leia and Han thought she might be a little crazy. Giselle started to walk out of the room and into the hangar bay. Han and Leia followed her. This woman probably shouldn't be left to wander on her own.
"Excuse me, could someone please point me to the castle?" Giselle asked desperately.
"Have you found out who she is?" Luke asked Han and Leia, who were watching Giselle. They turned around to see Luke in his flight suit, helmet tucked under his arm. Leia sighed. "Her name's Giselle. She's from some place called Andalasia." Luke frowned. "Okay.
Look, I gotta go."
Leia kissed Luke on the cheek. "Be careful." Luke nodded and walked off towards his X-Wing, leaving Han and Leia to deal with Giselle, who was now feeling more alone than ever.
"Do you have somewhere to stay?" Leia asked.
Giselle sighed. "I really do need to rest my head for the night."
Han frowned. "What kind of place do you have in mind?"
"Oh, I don't know. Maybe a meadow, or a hollow tree, or a house full of dwarves. I hear they're very hospitable."
Han and Leia didn't understand a thing she was saying, but it would be wrong to just leave her to fend for herself. This woman seemed lost and very alone. However, they had their own problems. They were worried for the lives of every single one of those pilots who were attempting to destroy the Death Star.
"Come on," Leia said.
"Where are we going?" Giselle asked, not sure to go with them or not. Leia smiled.
"Well, we can't just leave you here in the hangar." Giselle didn't know what a hangar was, but she sure didn't want to sleep here. She hoped Edward came for her soon.
Oh my gosh! Oh my god, the story was so great. I love Enchanted, and I love Star Wars, and this just fits. It was beautifully fitting. And you wouldn't normally think it was a fitting story beautifully in this manner, but it really was. I enjoyed it. I think that you did a great job on Giselle's voice. Has anyone seen the cat? Like, dude, these were things lifted from her script, I swear. And just their reactions, like, it was pretty spot on. I really liked the characterizations and just kind of like the reactions that you had with people. So, I mean, you know, I liked it. It was good.
Yeah, this was actually really good. I've got nothing really else to add to this other than, sorry about that. I don't know what else to add to this because it was just good. It wasn't because it was just there, but it was just good. The characterization was good. I have a feeling the evil witch took the wrong turn and, using the magic wishing well. Thank you. I'm thinking she might be a little far away from New York.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, this still has the same effect.
Yeah, I know.
Lasers
I know.
And everything, so.
Actually, it has a cooler effect.
Giselle would probably go up to Luke. She'd be like, if he used the Force, she'd be like, oh, you're a wizard.
Pretty much. I mean, this could actually be more funny. If someone actually did do that, like Giselle, in live action Star Wars,
like I think that would be really interesting.
Musical in Star Wars, during every fight, you gotta have some music.
Yeah.
Do you know how awkward that would be? Shooting the Death Star tonight. Bang, bang, bang. Shooting the Death Star tonight. Bang, bang, bang. Oh, no, I got shot. Yeah.
And that, everyone, was Zane performing from Star Wars, a musical.
Yes.
You can buy the album Not after the show tonight, $5.99.
Exactly. Exactly. Be one of the first people to call in, and guess what? You will receive the, most likely the, I don't know yet, but most likely something to deal with courts, and possibly getting sued by George Lucas. We don't know yet.
Yay!
Woo!
Everybody's getting sued.
Yay, we get sued for you and sued for you. Okay, we're going off track here now. Okay, so overall, I really like this.
I enjoyed this. This was a really nice, refreshing prettiness. Like, it was just like, oh, Giselle, no way. Just the reactions and just the characterizing. I loved it. It was so good. All right, I'm done now.
All right, so, all right. I've got nothing else to add to this. You?
Uh-uh.
All right, so guess who's up next?
Da-da-da.
Skywish.
Letters by DeFem. Summary. Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan find themselves in a difficult situation and discover ways to pass the time and things about each other. This is a fun game. You should try it. Timeline. Obi-Wan is 14.
Topaz.
Tropical.
Terrestrial.
Tatooine.
You can't use Tatooine, Padawan.
Why not?
It's a planet.
So?
So you can't use planets' names or numbers. It's the rules.
Okay, fine. Tertiary.
Ah, good one.
Thanks.
We already used thanks.
I'm well aware of that, Master. Termite?
Traffic.
Terror.
Terrorize.
I just used terror!
You're allowed to use a form of the same word, Obi-Wan.
Cheater. What kind of game is this anyway?
I used to play this quite often with my friends when I was younger, Obi-Wan.
Wow, you must have had really boring friends.
Padawan.
Typography.
Tap.
Tapping.
Typecast.
Trench. Much like the one we're stuck in, ironically.
Very funny, Obi-Wan. And we won't be stuck for long. Someone will find our tracking signal eventually.
Oh! Tracking!
No, I think I get credit for that one.
Damn!
Language, Padawan. That'll be an hour of meditation when we get out of here.
Hey, be easy with me. I'm injured.
You have a concussion, Obi-Wan, which means you have to stay awake. Which is the only reason why we are playing this ridiculous game in the first place.
And because you were bored.
Time.
Treacherous. Twi'lek. I thought you couldn't do species.
No, just people's names. Species are okay.
Oh. Trench coat.
That's two words, and we already used trench.
Damn!
2 hours.
Tsunami.
Nice one. Tornado.
Turpentine.
What?
I said turpentine.
Okay, transportation.
Transvestite!
What?
It is a word, Master.
I know it's a word.
Hard to come up with something after that,
No, it was just unexpected.
Just come up with a word.
Well, tertiary.
I already used tertiary.
You did?
Yes, after you said I couldn't use Tatooine. Speaking of which, tattoo, and it's still your turn.
Trick.
Transsexual.
Padawan.
It's a word, look it up.
A difficult task, considering we're buried under rubble.
With no dictionary, whatever shall we do?
Enough of your cheek, Padawan. And where in the universe did you learn all of this? Vocabulary.
I'm almost 15, Master. It is my duty in life to find as much disturbing vocabulary as possible.
Is that so?
Yes, and it's still your turn.
Fine. Tongue.
Testicles.
Maybe we should play a new game.
No! You're just sore because I'm winning.
What you're doing could hardly be considered winning, Padawan.
Fine. Find a new letter, then.
How about S?
Okay. Shit.
Maybe we should just stay with T.
Fine. Torrential.
Triangle.
Tampon.
Obi-Wan Kenobi! It's a word! You're pushing it, Padawan.
But it is a word!
I'm well aware it's a word. I just don't... Well...
Are you embarrassed, Master?
Of course not.
Yes, you are.
No.
Then what's your problem?
Padawan, you truly are infuriating.
Is ting a word?
No.
Darn.
Language, Obi-Wan.
That's not a foul word.
Just say a word, Padawan.
Token.
Total.
Totally.
Tempura.
What?
It's a spice of some sort. How would you know? I'm a lot older than you, Obi-Wan Kenobi. I happen to know that tempura is a word.
Fine. Temperature.
Temporary. Padawan?
I can't think of anything.
So you used up your colorful list of words, hmm?
I know another word, I just can't think of it.
Totalitarian and territorial. I think we're just about even.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
We use that one. Temper.
Aha!
Never mind. Never mind what? And what are you snickering at, Padawan?
Nothing.
Obi-Wan?
Nothing! I just remembered a word, that's all.
Do I even want to know?
Probably not.
Just say it and get it over with.
Titties!
I think it's time for a new game.
End. I hope this was enjoyable. I have to say, this was really random, even for me, and I owe all of my inspiration to my coworkers, who now know how to fill up an hour. By the way, Tunguska is so a word. It's amazing what can be inspired by too much time and too much caffeine. Reviews and comments would be greatly appreciated. Constructive criticism is welcome. And if you have any flames, I'd love to hear them. Just so I can laugh at all those people out there who actually think people care what they think. Love, Defem.
All right, so Skywish. This was... I don't know. I really liked it. This was just like the epic meter. My epic meter has just been busted. You have busted the epic meter for the first time ever on Teller of the Tales. Wait, is this the first time ever? I don't know. I don't know. Shoot. Oh, whatever. You've busted it anyways. It's been busted. I've got to go tape it up with duct tape again. Oh, well. But no, this was just really good. Overall, you did an amazing job on this. Just on the story alone. You just did a really amazing job. I love the characterization. The whole thing of him having all this colorful... Obi-Wan having this colorful vocabulary. But... I knew at the end, I knew what was going to happen. I knew exactly the word you were going to use, too.
I didn't. That was a surprise
and,
to me.
And it was just like, then all of a sudden, it's the way you said he went, titties! It just was like, wow, it's awesome. You just sent it out there with just, you didn't give a crap. You just said it. It's just like, yeah, I said it. What are you going to do about it? And it was just wow. Like, it was awesome. Just that
I
ending.
I see coming to a surprise, but it was, yeah.
The ending was just amazing.
The ending kind of reminded me of, like, the drug commercials where they were, like, on the side of them. Yeah. Because she was, like, just listing all the author's notes.
Yeah. Actually, I liked a lot of the author's notes, too. All those flamers. All those flamers who actually think that I care about what they're saying. Or actually care about... People actually care about what they say. So, yeah. So, I think it was all just overall... It was overall really good. I liked it. You, Livy?
I really enjoyed it. I didn't think... Like, this doesn't seem like a conversation Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon Jinn would have. But I totally could see a Master and Padawan having this. Mostly just because I don't know if Obi-Wan would have gone there. But if he... he might have. I'm not sure, though. Highly debatable, but it was hilarious because I'm sitting there like just listening and I'm just like, Obi-Wan, what? And I'm just like, no, it's okay. And like just the way that they were talking back and forth, it was just, I like that characterization and the relationship between them. It was pretty.
Yes. So. Yes. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. And epic.
Uh-huh. Very much so.
All right.
But I don't have an epic meter. I'm
not. No, you don't have an epic meter. And trust me, you don't want an epic meter. It's annoying to fix.
I bet.
Trust me.
But at least you have duct tape. Duct tape.
Especially when it leaks water. That's when we have the most issues.
Again, I say duct tape, it fixes everything.
I know it fixes everything. By now, it's all made of duct tape, pretty much. Okay, so I'm ready to move on. You?
Yep.
So, up next is Temporary Butterfly.
Be careful what you wish for. Chapter 1. Vacations, engagement plans, and force ghosts! Han Solo sat in the cockpit of the Falcon, only half listening to Chewie's report of their preparation for departure, and something about the engines or the hyperdrive? Certainly hope not! But he really did not care about that right now. No, he had too much on his mind at the moment, namely, Leia. Han really didn't like girls all that much, probably a side effect from his cootie stage, but Leia was a different thing altogether. She was smart, pretty, decent, dignified, annoying, quick on her feet, intelligent, annoying. Wait, he already said that. Oh well, he loved her anyway. He would protect her with his life if necessary. As a matter of fact, he would marry her. Just think about it. We would be perfect together. Politician and whatever I consider myself now. She could restore peace to the galaxy, and whenever those who opposed her tried to kidnap or kill her, I could dash off after her like a knight in shining armor to rescue the princess. Okay, he was definitely going head over heels now, but what if she does not want to get married? The sudden painful thought brought him out of his musings, and it was then that he noticed that Chewie had long since walked off, most likely very, very annoyed with his friend's lack of attention. He decided with a sigh that it was time to swallow his pride and apologize to the Wookiee. If he lets me get that far before strangling me, he mused as he walked off to find the furry mechanic. Luke Skywalker was rather bored. Everyone else had something to do. Leia and the other higher-up people were preparing for departure. Han was preparing for departure. The other troops and pilots were talking up some nonsense. And he hadn't seen his father or Ben last night when their force ghost had appeared in the distance. So he decided to busy himself with a walk through the forest. Luke was not all surprised by his sister's reaction to the news that the infamous Darth Vader was their daddy. And Han doesn't even know yet. He sincerely had hoped that Anakin had shown up to talk to them this morning, but he hadn't. Luke had really only had 3 conversations with his father, 1 right after he cut off his hand. That did not go well. 1 inside the Imperial base here on Endor, and 1 as he lay dying on the Death Star. Why is it that every time I've had a conversation with my father, I feel like my heart's been broken? He would have had to ask him next time he saw him, if he ever saw him. Hello! Luke whirled around at the sudden intrusion upon his thoughts, only to face Anakin Skywalker himself. Hi? Hi, you feeling better? Anakin gave him a questioning look and determined that his son was confused for some reason. What's wrong? Dad, I'm fine. He was still rather shocked to see his father's shiny force ghost standing there. Guess maybe he wasn't disappointed after all. Dad! How old are you? Now it's Anakin's turn to be confused. 46. Why? Well, you don't look much older than me, Luke answered, still rather bewildered by his father's appearance. I don't know why I didn't notice it last night. Luke, son, I'm dead. I can look however old or young as I want, he laughed. Luke's natural curiosity suddenly bubbled up at this. Really? May I see what you looked like when you were 5? No. Whatever made him ask that? Anakin thought. Oh. Luke's downtrodden look almost made him wish he had said yes. Almost. Wait. If you can change your appearance when you're dead, then why didn't Ben, Obi-Wan, always show up looking old? Don't know, maybe he just likes being old, probably makes him feel superior or something. Anakin, that has absolutely nothing to do with it. Luke whirled around again to face Obi-Wan's exasperated force ghost. Really? Then why is it your appearance is old now? And why was it whenever you showed up to talk to Luke? Because he had never seen me when I was younger. I would have confused the boy. By now, Obi-Wan was extremely annoyed with his former Padawan friend and enemy, Anakin Skywalker. Luke was just staring at the two, getting the feeling that he no longer wanted to be involved in this. Fine, but why are you like that now? I doubt it if he would be surprised if he knew it was you who showed up. Besides, there's really not a whole lot of difference. Obi-Wan gave him a glare before disappearing momentarily. Upon appearing again, he did look much younger, but was still glaring at Anakin. There, are you happy now? Yep, you two never did make up, did you? Obi-Wan and Anakin turned back to Luke, suddenly remembering that he was there. Why would you ask that? Anakin and I are back on good terms. Obi-Wan looked at the boy, rather confused by the question. Anakin, however, understood his son's accusation. Somewhat. Luke, Obi-Wan and I have a unique relationship. Trust me, if we were actually angry with each other, everyone in the near vicinity would be running away, fearing for their lives. Anakin said this perhaps a bit too cheerfully, and it did nothing positive for Luke's emotional state. Hey, kid. Luke was very grateful for Han's interruption, as it saved him from even thinking of replying to his father's statement. Over here, Han! Oh, there you are. Luke, what are these two, things? Han's face had grown a shade paler, and his pitch went up to about 3 notches. We are not things. We are Force ghosts. Anakin was rather indignant. And how can you see us? I thought only Force sensitives could see us. And as a final thought, he added on, and you are not marrying my daughter. Han was still confused at that. That last part did not register for a moment. Ghosts? Force ghosts? Wait. Your daughter. Obi-Wan ignored Han. And before Luke could say anything, he turned to his former Padawan. Anakin, no one ever said only Force sensitive could see us. Your daughter? Really, I thought Yoda had said something about that. Daughter? Master Yoda has never said anything about that. Excuse me! Han finally managed to get their attention and turned to Luke, who had been standing there calmly through all this, waiting for the two lunatics to shut up. Kid, you care to explain? Luke sighed. Han, you remember Obi-Wan Kenobi? Han nodded. And this is mine and Leia's father, Anakin Skywalker, better known as, or actually worse known as, Darth Vader. Han either was about to pass out or was a ghost himself. Luke wasn't sure which. Oh, by the way, Luke, your mom said hi. Luke turned to face Anakin again. She's there? Yep. Where exactly is there? Not sure, but you might could figure it out for us when you kick the bucket yourself. Once again, Anakin proved that he was never going to be anything but terrible at reassuring his children. Han, by this point, had finally stopped gaping, stammering, and hyperventilating. Your father is Darth Vader? You needn't shout so low, and my name is Anakin. Of course he was one to talk, seeing as how he was shouting himself. Han simply ignored him and turned to Luke. And you didn't think that we might have needed or wanted to know this little piece of information? Luke was hoping that Han would have taken the news a bit better, but after having a conversation with his temperamental father and exasperated mentor, who both happened to be dead, he no longer really cared. Well, Han, I myself didn't know until recently. Luke shrugged his shoulders, hoping that Han would calm down a bit now, because I do not know how much more yelling my ears can take. Unfortunately, it did not. Unfortunately for Luke, Han's anger was no longer directed at him. And unfortunately for Anakin, it was directed at him. Let me get this straight. You interrogated your daughter, blew up the planet she grew up on, cut off your son's hand, and tried to kill him on the Death Star. What kind of father are you? Well, not a very good one, I suppose. Anakin's voice was suddenly much quieter, and with his head hung down, he looked very much like a 5-year-old with his hand caught in the cookie jar. Luke could not have come any closer to having his request fulfilled. And I didn't want to kill him, just turning to the dark side, although I suppose that's not much better, is it? Han just stood there, wondering how two such wonderful children could have had such a terrible father. I hope their mother was better than this, although she must have been crazy to marry that guy. Han then suddenly wondered if the same applied to himself and Leia. Oh, probably not, Obi-Wan finally decided to break the rather uncomfortable silence that had fallen upon them. Anakin, I think it's time we left. Goodbye, Luke. Han. Each of the addressed nodded their heads in either farewell or an agreement, as such was with Anakin's case. Luke, tell your sister I said hello. I'll drop by later, okay? Okay. Bye, Dad, Luke said, despite being rather disappointed that he did not get to ask his father about the heartbreaking thing. It was rather heartbreaking, actually. Here we go again. This is so stupid. Goodbye, son. Turning to Han, he added quite distastefully, goodbye, Solo. And with that, the two Force ghosts disappeared, leaving Han and Luke alone, rather feeling uncomfortable. So they silently agreed not to speak of what had happened until a later time, and as they walked back to camp, they turned their conversation to more reasonable topics.
Hello! Okay, so I like the characterization. I thought it was a little bit weird at times, but it was pretty okay. It was like a comfortable, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
It wasn't like, it was just, so.
Yeah, I definitely have to say, this was actually really, it was okay. I mean, it wasn't the best one I've heard all night, but still, though, the characterization was there. I don't know, it feels like it could have had a little bit more energy to it. Mm. A little bit more variety to it. Because it seemed to be a little bit, like, I don't know, kind of seemed a little bit monotone. So I kind of lost, like, a little bit through the story. I kind of lost a little bit of interest into it. Like, about halfway through it, I was just, like, going, okay, how much longer do we got left, okay?
Yeah, just,
it kind of just seemed like it dragged. It's kind of like the other adverse effect of what happened with, what happened with the artichoke. It was the complete reverse effect where it was just like, it was just okay for me.
I mean, I like to see a little bit more energy wise and a little bit more kind of like, yes, kind of thing. And this is what happened. But I mean, it wasn't bad either. It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to say that if that's just one thing, just one, I would say if one thing I could actually nitpick on this thing, it would definitely be the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit more variety in just the voice itself, too. Which has got everything to do with the energy, so yeah, so I've got nothing else left. You?
Nope.
All right, so guess who's up next? Dylan Collins.
Ooh, fun.
The Sandman Cometh by Darth J. Landry. It was a hot day on Tatooine. Really hot. Hot enough to fry an egg on the sidewalk, if they had sidewalks on Tatooine. The sun shined brightly. Windy and his friend Deke, who was the same age as Windy, were driving around in his land speeder and drinking sodas which he had just bought in Anchorhead. "You're so lucky to have your own land speeder," said Windy jealously. "I wish I had one. Can I drive?" "No," said Deke. "If something bad happens, then I will get in trouble for it, even if it's your fault." They drove in silence, drinking sodas until the land speeder hit a rock out in the middle of nowhere.
You should've let me drive, Wendy said. Now you're gonna get in trouble anyway.
Well, I hope you're happy, Deke said. Looks like you get your wish. My land speeder is broken and we're stuck here until...
Until when? Wendy asked hotly. I have a race tomorrow and I was gonna buy my own land speeder with the prize money. And then maybe Big's cousin Mary Sue would go out with me. Now if we're stuck here, then I can just forget about that.
Mary Sue would never go out with you, even if you had your own spaceship. Plus, she likes Luke, and he's going to win the race. Anyway, I think she's a skank, and her eyes aren't even really violet. She wears contacts, Deke laughed.
No, she doesn't, Wendy said. Anyway, you're just jealous because you are not 18 and old enough to have sex like I am.
I may be younger than you, but I've already had sex, Deke said. With your mom. She begged me for it, too. Deke doubled over laughing at his funny joke. Wendy was going to retort something mean in reply when just then the radio in Deke's land speeder squeaked to life.
Weets, weets,
it said in Jawa language.
Hey, that's it, Wendy cried. We can use your radio to call civilization, he said triumphantly.
He was no longer mad about their fight about Mary Sue. No, we can't, Deke said crestfallenly. It's broken. It only goes one way.
Then maybe we should climb up on that rock cliff so we can see better if somebody comes along and then they can help us, Wendy said.
They climbed up on the rock, being careful to turn off the radio first. When they got to the top, they were both sweating. It's a hot day, Deke said. Wendy secretly agreed. His mom had made him wear a sun poncho, but Wendy thought it looked gay. Plus it was hot, so he took it off. Deke took his shirt off. He wished he had big arm muscles like Deke. Oh well, Wendy was still the oldest. You should take off your shirt too, Wendy. Deke was taking the cap off of a tube. Look, I brought suntan lotion, Deke said. That way, those two hot suns won't burn us. Tatooine was a bisolar planet.
Okay, said Wendy, taking off his shirt.
Deke's big hands dug into Wendy's tight shoulders like he was making meatloaf. It felt good. Wendy used his binoculars to look down the road. There was nothing to see. The land speeder just sat there. It looked okay, but Wendy knew the truth. It was busted. The rock was even knocked over. Deke's strong fingers worked along Wendy's spine. Does that feel good? He said. Wendy nodded.
Yes, it feels good, thanks.
He was looking at something on the horizon. It looked like shapes moving. Deke's fingers were working at the base of his spine, partway into Wendy's pants.
You should... take your pants off,
Deke whispered hoarsely into Wendy's ear. His breath seemed warm. Maybe he was getting a cold. Wendy took his pants off and Deke continued to massage Wendy's naked body.
You know, I tease you about your inexperience, but I know you have needs.
Wendy stretched his body forward for a better look at those shapes, and looked like short shapes and tall shapes.
I want you to know that I'm your friend, and I'd do anything to make things easier for you, Deke continued.
He certainly was getting personal.
Just close your eyes and forget about the land speeder and where we are.
Deke noticed that Wendy seemed to stiffen underneath him.
What are you thinking about, Wendy?
Wendy seemed to be holding his breath. He was excited, all right.
Why don't you turn over, Wendy?
His eyes still fixed on the horizon, Wendy got up.
Thanks, Deke. Now it's my turn.
Deke got on his stomach in front of Wendy.
That's okay, he thought. Maybe Wendy just wants to take charge. That would be exciting.
Wendy squirted the suntan lotion out of the tube on Deke and spread it around in a few quick wiping strokes of his hand. That was it. Deke was disappointed and a little bit sore. Maybe this was one of those teasing torture things like he read about in his dad's magazines. Wendy pointed at the shapes.
Look, he said. They're coming closer.
Deke saw the shapes, too. They were tall ones and short ones. Sure enough, they were coming closer. They noticed that the tall ones were sand people and the short ones were Jawas. Soon, they were looking at the land speeder.
Wow, Wendy said. They're in cahoots.
It certainly looked that way to Deke. The Jawas and the sand people were drinking their sodas and fiddling with the land speeder's controls and moving things around under the hood and honking its horn and laughing. Then they all took their clothes off. Wendy and Deke stared at them in surprise. The Jawas were wrinkly and little, and the sand people were tall and pale and had lots of tattoos on, but that wasn't the big surprise. The sand people all had tits, and the Jawas all had penises. That's neat, Deke remarked.
Do you think they're all the same race? Wendy asked. Maybe the Jawas are all boys and the sand people are all girls.
Apparently that was the case, because then the sand girls all bent over and the Jawas fucked them. Then they left.
Wow, said Wendy.
Yeah, said Deke, hurriedly wiping his hands in the sand. Let's make sure they didn't take anything.
Okay.
Deke and Wendy hurried down to the land speeder. It was okay. What's more, when Wendy turned the key, the engine came on.
Hey, said Wendy, it works. I thought you said it was broken.
It was, said Deke. The Jawas and the sand people must have fixed it.
Oh, well. Let's go, said Wendy, putting his clothes back on. Maybe Luke will have some new power converters from Toshi Station.
I thought it was called Tosh Station, Deke said. They laughed. The end.
All right, so Dylan Collins. I have to say, I actually really like this. The characterization was very good. The only thing I wasn't too sure on was I thought Wendy was a chick instead of a dude. Because there was a few times you didn't...
Wait.
There was a few times I didn't catch...
Dude?
Yeah. Wendy was a dude.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of makes things a little bit more awkward, but yet, though, it's like, okay. Because, I don't know, it was like the voice you gave him was just really, like, almost a girly-style voice. Which, granted, isn't that bad, but it's still, it's like, if we didn't hear the he or she thing did, then I would have assumed that it was a chick just because of the voice. But other than that, I actually really liked it. I thought you did a really good job on the story. Libby?
I liked the characterization and some of the relations between the characters. It was a bit awkward. It was okay. Like, it was good.
I've got nothing else left to say about it. You?
I don't really. You kind of covered everything I was going to say.
I see.
Stealing my thunder.
I'm sorry. Please don't kill me.
See what I have to deal with?
See what you deal with. See what I have to deal with. But guess what? Who we have left? We have one person left. Stratovarius, you're up next!
The Vader Monologues by Blind Man. The premise here is just what the title suggests. Darth Vader talking to himself. His two conflicted halves, Anakin / Vader, discussing this, that, and the other thing. Enjoy!
Or not.
Above the Death Star, Vader steps into a turbolift. It begins to rise.
Hey, Vader. Where are you going?
To the detention level, Anakin, to interrogate the princess.
You're not gonna hurt her, are you?
I am, yes.
Oh, why, man? She's a cutie.
So what?
Qui-Gon would have approved.
Kygon was weak.
He was awesome! He had that whole wrong-haired hippie thing going on.
He was a fool. Remember how he kept taking his bong out behind the pod racer while he thought nobody was watching?
Oh, he said it helped him get in tune with the Force.
Right. If I'd followed in his footsteps, I'd be living on a diet of herbal brownies and trying to smoke anything I could set on fire.
Well, we're just Mr. Bitter today, aren't we?
We're Mr. Bitter every day.
Yeah, I've noticed. And look what it's doing to your health!
Being thrown into a fiery pit of lava had more to do with that, I think.
Is that what happened? I'm still a little fuzzy on that.
It is. And stop it.
Stop what?
You're trying to distract me from interrogating the princess.
Is it working?
No. I'm going to question her. I'm going to get the information I seek. I'm going to crush the rebellion and restore order to the galaxy.
Well, it's all about you, isn't it?
Actually, yes. George said so.
Well, can you at least do it without hurting her?
Why? What would you suggest?
You could maybe reason with her?
You've got to be kidding. There can possibly be any reasoning with a woman who sports that hairstyle.
Well, you got me there. But you could try. Remember all that stuff you read in that book? Men are from Corellia, women are from Dantooine.
That's just a bunch of pop. I'm glad I had the offer liquidated.
The turbo lift door opens, and Vader strides out into the detention block. The guards come to attention as he stalks past them down the corridor. He stops in front of cell 2187, starts to reach for the door controls.
Wait a second, man.
What now? Make it quick.
I've got an idea. It'll get you the information faster than your torture.
I'm listening. Oh, that is good. And they say I'm the evil one.
Vader opens the door, steps inside. Leia faces him defiantly. He looms over her.
Now, your highness, will you discuss the location of your hidden rebel base?
Interrogator droid floats into the chamber. The door hisses closed. Suddenly, a couple of speakers pop out of the interrogator droid, and spicy lightning-style music begins to blare.
Now, your highness, let us Macarena! Yeah!
Alegría, Macarena, que tu cuerpo es para dar la alegría y cosa buena. Darle a tu cuerpo alegría, Macarena. ¡Hey, Macarena!
Mental note. After dealing with the princess, liquidate the offers of Macarena. Twice.
Alright, so Stratifarius, this was epic. This was awesome, and you broke my epic meter. You pulled in a lot of good stuff. I loved the sound effects. I just loved everything about this. This was just really good. I love the characterization. Every single character, even the narrator, had its own little style of character, which really, really, you really did bring this to life. You really did shine, and it was awesome. Libby?
I enjoyed this. I thought the vocals and the effects were really good. I think that this is an example of extra effects really paying off. I like what you did with the vocal effects and with the Darth Vader. Like, that was really, it was really epic. So yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Also, too, that the end though, where you put the Macarena in there, then the mental note.
So random.
Was just random, but it was awesome.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've got nothing else left. You?
Nope.
All right. So next up is the results. So stay tuned.
Yay.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to the results. So, yeah. So, Libby, would you like to say who won tonight?
Sorry. Oh, wow. What if I mispronounced the name? Stratofiris, you won.
Yay!
I know, I didn't like do like, oh my god!
And
like, yeah, you won it for us tonight. So,
yeah.
You know what that means. In 24 hours, you better have a story up for us, or else it will be My Little Pony, so.
What? Whoa. Why is it going to be My Little Pony?
Because I know that would torture you.
Why are you wanting to torture me?
And it would torture Dylan.
Why are you trying to torture me?
You torture all you pony haters. It's good motivation.
Stratofarius, please. Please just pick something in 24 hours. Okay, so next person saved is Skywish.
Yeah.
So congrats.
Yeah.
The two people who broke my epic meter. Darn you people. Darn you. All right, would you like to say the next person?
Who's next?
Down the list. Look at the list.
But I did look at the list.
Oh, okay. I was just saying. Never mind.
Whatever. It's 11. She's awesome.
Yes. So, Beloved Star, congratulations. And coming after Beloved is the one and only Dylan Collins.
Dylan Collins, yay! And coming up in fifth was Miss Opie Cow.
Yay, Opie Cow! So, which means the bottom three are the artichoke, temporary butterfly, and malt. Now, the artichoke, the reason why we stuck you in here was because of the fact of the matter is, even though your story was interesting, you kept us engaged the whole time, there was no characterization whatsoever between the characters. Which, I think...
there was a little bit, but it wasn't...
Yeah, it wasn't enough to...
I would consider that the other entries had a little bit more in that respect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you like to say anything about Temporary Butterfly?
I think that your energy was really lacking. I know you've been sick recently, so I don't know if that played a role in it or not, but just want you to get out there and just tell it. But I mean, it sounded like you had fun with it, so
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, so I mean, to be honest with you, alright, yeah, so then we have Malt. Malt, big reason why we stuck you in here was story choice. Very, very, very bad story choice. And
I mean,
yeah,
it certainly was memorable, and I mean, I know we aren't supposed to do content. Yeah. When I say that, it's what I mean is that it can be a horrific story, but you tell it good, we can't get you on that. But we still have to take into effect, and I guess this is what confuses people, is story choice. It's kind of, kind of like song choice. Like, because you don't like the song doesn't mean you should automatically be like, oh, I hate this song, so I'm going to score you on it. But if you're singing for like a certain round and you do a song that doesn't seem to fit or it just kind of seems a little bit too out there for the round and it doesn't matter how much you can carry it, it doesn't work. Yeah. I think that case it was just a little bit too forward, and you really did, you kind of went from like hanging back and just like jetting forward in like light speed, you know, but yeah.
It was memorable, just I don't know if it was in a good way or not. So Olivia, would you like to save one of these three people? Livy?
This is hard. I guess I'll save the artichoke.
The artichoke, you are saved. Congratulations. So that means it is between Temporary Butterfly and Malt. Now, this is actually kind of hard because of the fact you got two different styles. Really, one lacking energy, one not lacking energy, one having great, awesome stuff, but the story choice was just bad. It wasn't at all a good story choice, and granted, I understand that you had to, like, rush this out, but to be honest with you, the story choice would have been better, and for that, Malt, I'm sorry, but you have been cut from Tell of the Tales.
I really don't like this at all.
Yeah. To be honest with you, it sucks.
I really wish she could stay.
Yeah. Which, actually, though, this season has just been crazy.
Yeah.
I want to say throughout this whole season, last week wasn't really that hard to pick who was going to get booted off. This week was actually hard because we had so many different things we had to look at and just so many different things that it was just crazy. It actually almost took us like a half hour just to actually say, okay, this is who is in the bottom three. This is who's going to get eliminated. And I'm sorry, Malt, but if season four comes around, I would love you have it on the show again.
I really would love for her to come out if we have a season four.
Yeah.
I think that this was a really rough evening. I think that there was a lot of things that could, I don't know. But yeah. Either way, Thank you for being on the show. We appreciate you definitely trying really hard. And for everybody else, congratulations on making it through to another round.
And guess what this is? We are now up to the top 7. So congratulations, everybody. Congrats.
Good job, everybody.
And as you guys know, Stratifarius, he is going to be picking the next round. So, yeah. Also, there's going to be a rule about picking the rounds. Once a round has been picked, you cannot pick that same round again this season.
Yeah, we don't want like a new or a Star Wars TV. I mean, there's, you know, we want to see something new. So, so give us your opinion soon. And that would be great. Thanks.
Yep.
And for everybody else, have a great night.
Yes. And remember, may the Force be with you.
Live long and prosper.
Wrong thing.
I don't care.
I don't. Whatever.
Don't blink.